Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Last week, we talked about kissing the rain. This week, the weather girls are letting us know that the rain is actually men. Our Patreon members voted that we should discuss this early 80s gay anthem, and we couldn't wait to do so. Will we throw thunder on this duo that was formerly known as Two Tons of Fun? Stay tuned to find out how we feel about the powerful voices that brought us It's Raining Men.
All you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever. And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
All right, Matt, I can't believe this is one of those episodes. I can't believe it took us this long on a podcast called One Hit Thunder to talk about the Weather Girls. Here we are, man. It's raining men. Hallelujah.
Chris, there is one moment that is always, to me, the truest sign that we are talking about a one-hit wonder, right? Like, sometimes there's murky waters. Sometimes you question, was this other song a bit of a hit or whatever? But when you log on to the Weather Girls Spotify page and four of their five most played songs are different variations of It's Raining Men, you know that we are talking about a serious one-hit wonder.
I got to tell you that I use Apple Music, and Apple Music shows you like the top eight songs. The first seven were It's Raining Men. And I don't even think they were different versions.
Oh, it was just like off the Greatest Hits album, off the actual album, off the Essentials Weather Girls release.
Yep.
This is one of those songs where it's such a dumb song, right? Like, it's such a dumb concept of a song, but it's so fucking good. Like, the actual song kind of rules. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler alert here. The more research I did on the Weather Girls, specifically Martha Wash, like, she fucking is awesome. She's like one of the coolest people we may have ever talked about on this show.
I'm going to have to disagree with you, though, that this is a dumb concept. I mean, as soon as what's the guy's name? Paul Jabara. As soon as
Paul Jabara, and did you see who he co-wrote it with?
Of course I did. Paul Schaefer from David Letterman, of course. And you could go on YouTube and watch videos of when it's so funny. It's from like 1982 or 1983. It's Letterman. And, you know, it's like a younger Paul Schaefer. Still looks exactly like Paul Schaefer. And it's Dave talking to him like, so I hear you have a hit song. And Paul's like, Yeah, I have a hit song right now. It's just like Dave kind of making fun of the fact that Paul Schaefer wrote It's Raining Men. It's pretty funny. But Paul Jabara, who had worked with Donna Summer and Barbara Streisand and just lots of people, he approached them first. He approached Donna Summer, and Donna Summer was like, no, that's blasphemous. Yeah, I think it was like the Hallelujah part or whatever. And finally, the Weather Girls came around.
Well, one source that I saw even said that Donna Summer sent Paul Jabara a Bible in return because she was so offended by the song. She had just become a born-again Christian.
Oh, my God.
The full list of people who declined it, like you said, Barbara Streisand said no. Also, Diana Ross and Cher all said no to this. I found a quote from Martha Wash even saying that they had turned it down a couple times.
Wow.
And she had said, "We thought it was just a crazy song. In fact, we thought it was too crazy to record. I kept saying, 'It's Raining Men? Really? Are you kidding me? I just don't think anyone would buy it.' So that's why we kept saying no." But eventually, Jabbar convinced them, after pleading, to at least give him 90 minutes to record the song with them. So this song was done in 90 minutes vocally.
Yeah. Paul Schaefer and Paul Jabara wrote it in an afternoon.
And yeah.
Dude, I mean, this just goes along with my theory that I've talked to you about several times. If something is so ridiculous that it catches your attention, then it's probably going to be a hit. Like,
yeah.
Just that title, It's Raining Men, that's a hit song. If I had never heard this song, I'm like, oh, that's a hit. Lady Gaga, go perform It's Raining Men. That's a hit song.
Well, and they got them to change their name at the time. Well, first they started off as backup singers for Sylvester.
Right.
I'm not sure if you know any Sylvester disco tracks.
Well, Sylvester had a number one dance hit, You Make Me Feel Mighty Real. And when I went and listened to it, I was like, I kind of know this song. I'm not like a disco expert. In fact, Matt, today, because I was digging into disco so much, I was like, look, we've talked about it so many times. It's come up so many times. I'm going to listen to Disco Duck. I had never even heard Disco Duck before. I thought I was going to put it on and be like, oh, yeah, I know this. I didn't know that. How would I know that?
It's song? A really dumb song.
Yeah.
One of the things I did learn about Sylvester, and I think that this plays very importantly with the Weather Girls story in a weird way, Sylvester was like one of the first truly out and gay pop stars. Mm. Like, even at the time of disco, the Village People were very, like people kind of knew, but they weren't saying one way or the other. Whereas, like, Sylvester was like, no, I am gay. there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And then, at that time, the duo went by the name Two Tons of Fun.
Right. Which, that's ridiculous, but yeah.
Ridiculous name. They had shortened it to the Two Tons. Before Jabbar and Schaefer came up to them and said, what if you called yourselves the Weather Girls to tie in with this song that we wrote?
Well, that's another surefire guarantee that it's going to be a one hit. If you're changing the name of your group to match the one song, it's like I think that's the first time I've heard of that being done, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could also say, like, very similarly in the same boat, I would say, to like a Bobby Boris Pickett, where it's like,
yeah, okay,
you are going out of your way to be like, I am Boris Korloff, and this is my Monster Mash.
Right.
Song.
We are the women who sing It's Raining Men, the Weather Girls.
But I mean, the song is weird because it was a number one dance hit, but this only got to 46 on the Billboard charts, which seems so low, like unreasonably low. And when I crawled and like scrolled through like the charts for when it peaked, and I only wrote down the top five, but like at the time, the number one song was Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. This was March 5th, 1983. The top five songs, I knew four of the five. I knew Billie Jean. Number five was Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran, which I definitely know. Mm-hmm. Number four was Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by the Culture Club, which I definitely know. Number three was Stray Cat Strut by the Stray Cats. I definitely know that one. But it was the number two song, Shame on the Moon by Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. Like, I know Bob Seger. I don't remember that song.
I don't remember that one either.
But scrolling through even like number six all the way down to 46, there was only a handful of songs that I recognize. So it's crazy to me that this song wasn't higher up on those charts just based on longevity
in
my head.
I also think this song just continued to live on. Matt, you know that people did not like this song at first. In fact, Paul Jabara, he wrote it as a gay anthem. I mean, there's no beating around the bush here. This was meant to be an anthem for gay people.
Yes.
And so before the Weather Girls even sang on it, now I was a little unclear on if it was him singing on it or if he sang it live or whatever, but he went
to gay rally in New York City. I don't know if it was, I think this was, I don't know when Pride started or whatever. I don't know what this was.
This would have been post Stonewall, I would say. I think Stonewall was in the 70s.
All right. Well, it was in New York City and he went to a gay event where there were lots of people and performed the song and got booed off the stage. Like, people hated it. Like, even the gay community did not embrace this song at first. That was before they got the Weather Girls to sing it. That's
I was
going to
say,
I
think the Weather Girls is the secret. Because the Weather Girls, there's an element of campiness to it when it's women singing it. And I do want to give some credit to a person that I've mentioned before. He does the exact type of stuff that we do, Todd in the Shadows. He had like a nice 20-minute video about the Weather Girls, It's Raining Men. And he pointed out something where he's like, you can tell it's written by a guy because, like, women don't really write songs about, like, I'll have any man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like they'll write, like, what a man. Like, they'll write a song about a very specific person. But guys will absolutely write shit like girls, 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 where right. It's like, I'm insatiable. I need every single one of them. Well, so I'm sure the element of a guy singing a song like It's Raining Men felt very, like, very poignant in a way that didn't work, whereas, like, the absurd, the almost superstardom level vocalism that's happening
that's
between
it.
These two women is what makes it work.
That's like, what makes it work, man, is they are amazing singers. Izora yeah. Armstead and Martha Wash, amazing, amazing singers who could sing anything, and
they could sing a phone book and yeah. I would get a little choked up. Like, I'm like, this is, they just have powerful voices, man. And we'll get into Martha Wash's continued powerful voice well into the 90s, but I was also equally shocked that this was 83, because this any amount of money I would have guessed this was a mid 70s to late 70s.
I would have guessed late 70s. Yeah, I'm very very surprised this song came out at the same time as Billie Jean. Like, yeah. It doesn't seem to go together. Song seems much before that. One thing I want to mention before I forget. So they were also at the same time, and they talked about this on Letterman when he had him on. They were also still Two Tons of Fun. Like, they were like, yeah, whatever anyone wants to call us, however we can get paid. They were like, like, okay. But what I thought is funny, you said they changed their name to just Two Tons. They didn't change their name for any reason other than the fact that there was already an Oklahoma gospel act that had registered the name Two Tons O' Fun with ASCAP, and they had it since 1958. What I think is so crazy about this is it wasn't even Two Tons of Fun. Both groups were called Two Tons Oh Fun.
Oh Fun.
Like, what are the chances? If you made your band name Two Tons of Fun, you got to think, like, okay, we're good. Like, yeah. My band's called Punchline. We had to worry. You know, we had to be like, okay, there's probably other punchlines. But Two Tons Oh Fun, there was a gospel act already named that from 1958. I thought that was pretty wild.
That's insane. And I do want to also shout out, this song got nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah.
It was up for the best R&B performance by a duo or a group with vocals, but it lost to another pretty great song, Rufus and Chaka Khan's Ain't Nobody, which is just a good jam, so that's fine. Another thing that we've talked about on this show, we said before, you change the name of the group to match the song, already you're like setting yourself up for one-hit wonderdom. But then their other singles all kind of felt like they were falling into the same category, specifically their Christmas song, Dear Santa, I Need a Man.
Dear Santa, bring me a man this Christmas. I knew you were probably going to do a Christmas 365 about that song. I sure hope so.
One day. There was also I'm Going to Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair and their cover of Big Girls Don't Cry. We're all attempted at singles. And then they called it quits in 1988. And this is, we'll get back to Martha Wash, but the history of the Weather Girls is interesting because Martha Wash goes off and has a very prolific, successful solo vocalist career, while the remaining Weather Girl reforms the group with her daughter in 1991, and they keep going until she dies in 2004. And then her daughter kept the group going to this day, you can still see the Weather Girls. It's neither of the original Weather Girls at this point, but it's still a group that tours internationally and releases music and everything. It's kind of wild.
Wow. Yeah, that is wild to not have any of the original members. Yes. Rest in peace to Izora. But Martha, you can watch this too. It's within, there's a big compilation of all the times the Weather Girls were mentioned or performed on Letterman. And Martha Wash in 2012 performed It's Raining Men. And she sounded and looked amazing. Better than ever.
Yeah.
And in 2012. Now we're talking 30 years after the song came out. And I was really, really impressed. I think it's funny too, Paul Schaefer, they mentioned in this thing that I watched about the creation of it, that I think Paul Schaefer talked about it, that after they got booed at the gay pride rally, that Paul Schaefer's girlfriend stormed off because she was embarrassed and told him, "I told you that song sucked." But once again, that was without the Weather Girls performing it.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it, now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code 150 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code 150, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscover Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
So Martha Wash has a title of the Queen of Clubland because after the Weather Girls broke up, she became a vocalist for a lot of the 90s house music, specifically providing vocals for the group Seduction, Black Box, and probably the biggest hit of hers, CNC Music Factory's Everybody Dance Now, Gonna Make You Sweat.
Dude! Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't put two and two together. Of course I knew that. I actually knew that name. I think they actually have it in the... Oh my God.
So she eventually sued those groups because they didn't credit her vocals and would hire models to lip sync for live performances and music videos. But yeah, she was throughout the 90s. It was her voice doing most of the like everybody dance now type female vocalist yelling in all of those club hits.
Dude,
in the 90s.
I gotta check this because I swear that maybe retroactively because she sued them, she might be listed as like...
She is now. That was what she sued for, to have her name listed on the tracks now.
Oh, wow. I'm glad she's getting her due because she sounds great.
And she, I mean, you could argue... She's the reason why those songs work.
Yes. You're right. Like, imagine that song without everybody dance now. Man, it's
like
a high note.
Don't think that they could have grabbed just any old person to do it. It's like, no, you have this woman who can really like belt and yell and make it sound good. And we talked about, okay, this song was kind of written with the intention of being a gay anthem. It may have had a rocky start at first, but boy, did it ever succeed in that. Rolling Stone put it on their list of the 25 essential LGBTQ pride songs. Billboard named it the 46th greatest gay anthem of all time, and Gay UK named it the number 2 greatest queer anthem of all time.
It seems like it should be higher than number 46.
For sure. I think Billboard missed a step there.
Hey, did you watch the music video?
Oh, the music video is so good. Dude, it's like a straight Chippendales performance.
What's so funny is, first of all, the green screen is so bad. Whoever was doing the green screen did such a bad job. They must have spent $500 on this video. And yet, I'm sure it was on MTV and everything, you know?
I mean, there's a point where one of them is floating down and you can see the buildings through her because the green screen is so poorly keyed out in shots.
Well, also, what I think is so funny about it is that the concept of the song is they're, you know, they want men. They want it to rain men. And then it finally rains all these men. And it sucks. They're gay men. Like, they're pretty obviously gay men, right? Like, that's not going to really help them out in their quest for men, minus having men around dancing. But it's a bunch of, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just assuming, but it seems like a bunch of gay men in Speedos dancing around them, which I just thought that whole part of it
dancing
was
around
funny.
That harp-shaped bed that they're laying on. Like, it is definitely one of those videos where spoiler alert for upcoming videos or upcoming songs that we're going to be discussing, but it definitely represents the first year or two of MTV in a giant way. Which is these kind of shoddy thrown together videos. But what I want to talk about real quick with Martha Wash, this was what really won me over towards the end, was I was diving into her activism, right? And keep in mind that this group was essentially, like, Two Tons of Fun was formed out of two girls who befriended each other in church and had, like, kind of continued to be pretty devout Christians. But Martha Wash has pretty much dedicated a large chunk of her life to being a very outspoken advocate for the queer community. She actually said, "It means the world to me when any fan comes up and tells me that they followed me throughout my years working with Sylvester, or they tell me that they felt safe to come out to my music, or that someone decided to not take their life because of one of my songs. These are the people I sing my music for. So to all of you beautiful people out there, I say stay strong. Don't give in, and please try to carry on." She's also been an activist against the fight of HIV and AIDS for over 30 years. On World AIDS Day in December 12th, she was actually awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award in San Francisco from the AIDS Emergency Fund for her continued advocacy and fundraising to help with financial assistance with people suffering from the disease. And then on top of that is also a spokeswoman for the quality services for the autism community and fights to help raise more social standings for helping people with autism, and was headlined 3 separate charity concerts for nonprofit AIDS organizations throughout her life, including part of the, she became a, in 2012, she became a supporter of the You Can Play Project, a nonprofit organization dedicated to ensuring equality, respect, and safety for all athletes, regardless of their sexual orientation. So she is, like, truly taken to being like, hey, if I'm the singer of a song that is considered a gay anthem, I am going to make sure that I do whatever I can to help out that community, as opposed to, there are definitely some, like, I have a feeling, based on the way Donna Summer responded to just the concept of doing It's Raining Men, despite the fact that she was the queen of disco and disco came from, you know, the gay club scene of the 70s, I don't think Donna Summer's, like, going out there storming to help out the people in that community nearly as much as Martha Wash has done basically since 1983. So
that's amazing. That's incredible.
Yeah, she rules. She's awesome.
It's like, through her music career, the gay community lifted her up, and then in turn she helped lift the gay community up, you know, like did what she could to that. I think that's really, really awesome. That's so cool. She didn't just, like, cash the checks and be like, oh, thanks, gays. You know, like she was like, she's
exactly
literally, you know, devoted her life to trying to raise awareness and be a, you know, an ally. That's so cool, man. So cool.
So was there any other cool stuff that you learned about the Weather Girls? Because here's the thing. I can talk for days on how cool Martha Wash is and what she did after the Weather Girls and all that. But, you know, I also listened to a bunch of music by the Weather Girls. And while I didn't hate anything by it, like there's no other It's Raining Men. You know what I mean? Like this song rules for a very specific reason that I think was kind of missing in a lot of the other songs.
Yeah. I think, like you said, they tried to spin off of that in a lot of songs. The Christmas song, of course. Hey, Santa, bring me a man. They're always just want a man. just get them a man.
That's all they want.
I would just
satisfy them.
Like to say rest in peace to Izora Armstead. Rest in peace to Paul Jabara, who passed away in 1992. Paul Schaefer, still going strong. When you go watch these videos of him performing, I was really impressed. The Weather Girls' first performance of it, like in 1983, it was like early 1993 on Letterman. You can go watch it. I was really impressed with, at that time, Paul Schaefer's band on David Letterman was just a four-piece. And they played the backing music. And Paul, before they played it, he told Dave, he's like, you know, they use a lot of stuff in disco music that we don't have, or something along those lines. But dude, they sounded perfect, as did obviously Izora and Martha. They sounded amazing. And it was just a really, really great performance. And I really like Paul Schaefer. I mean, I grew up watching David Letterman, so to know that he was involved in this song made me like it even a little bit more. Always thought he's really cool. Always think it's really cool when Paul Schaefer and the band join in with the musical guest. I always like, I always think that'd be really cool if I ever got to play on, David Letterman, which won't get that chance now. But if I did get that chance, I would have loved to have been like, hey, can you guys join us like at this part of the song? I think that'd be so cool. Matt, I got to tell you one more thing about the Weather Girls. So even calling them a one-hit wonder by our standards is a little bit of a stretch, but they do have four number one dance singles. So they did top the dance charts four times. When it comes to dance, they are by far not a one-hit wonder. But in the grand scheme of things, yes, they are. And they're lucky to have that, I guess, considering it's just the way this song has grown over time. I'm trying to think of if there's been any other songs like that that we've covered on this show where it was like, not necessarily a hit at the time, but then as time passed and more people discovered it, or it became, you know, in this case, an anthem, but, you know, that gained momentum over time.
I feel like this is one of those songs, and we talk about this a lot on the show, but like there are those songs where it's like, I think my first exposure, honestly, to It's Raining Men was probably 5-6 years old or whatever, watching like Nickelodeon and just a random like songs of disco compilation comes on, because like if you're gonna do, you know, those commercials always were like it would be playing a song and like a bunch of other song titles would be scrolling by, and every like 10 seconds it would change songs. Of course you're gonna play, if you can only play 10 seconds of a song to sell your compilation album, you can't do much better than It's Raining Man, like for a couple seconds. So I'm sure that was my first exposure to the song, was just hearing it in a CD comp advertisement on television when I was a kid.
How did Weird Al never parody this?
The only thing I can think of is 1983. He had just put out his first album, and because again, that's crazy. His second album was Beat It. This was on the radio at the same time Thriller was out. That makes no sense to me.
There's like, so much potential here. Also, just the concept.
It's Raining Ham, just a continuing food.
Yeah, just doing food. But also, the concept of It's Raining Men could have been really funny if the men were raining out of the sky and just splattering on the ground. Because that's inevitably what would be happening.
I support that idea. Yeah. That there's just a very violent, horrific version of this song.
the men are just falling out of the sky and dying. All right, man. Well, I can't do anything but throw thunder on the name of the Weather Girls. I feel like it's the only respectful thing to do.
I'm right there with you. Like, they, if for no other reason, Martha Wash, if you somehow stumble upon this episode, we are two Martha Wash loving fans right now. So, with all the respect in the world, I mean, again, like you said, we're one hit thunder, and when there's thunder, there's rain. And man, for today, for the first time in history, it's going to be raining men here on One Hit Thunder.
So. It's always raining at least two men here.
That's right. That's right.
My old ways in this new fist. Something's broken, weren't meant to be.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Fafalios of the bands Punchline, Pack, and Another Cheetah, and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Greenlight off the Punchline album 37 Everywhere. Subscribe to A Band Called Punchline on any podcasting app for an upcoming episode on the recording and release of this album. And be sure to visit Punchline.com for merch, tour dates, and news. We're on Patreon now. Become a patron and get bonus content, early episodes, and a chance to vote on future episodes at patreon.com/OHTpodcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app, and tune in next week for more One Hit Thunder.
So if I ask for opposites of what we have, like if it's hot, let's try to be cool with that. And if it's cool, sit by a fire. If you're bored, take a nap if you're tired. Why are we so wicked and decisive? Let's hit the streets with toy explosives and let's enjoy what we have. Stare into this moment. Stare into this moment.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen, and wherever you get your podcasts.